Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey, health junkies, welcome to The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I'm going to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart because I've dealt with it and a lot of my patients deal with it, and it's something that is frustrating for a lot of folks. It's what your doctor doesn't test to evaluate your thyroid, but should. And the reason I wanted to go into this in my podcast is because there are a lot of folks out there still that are suffering with hair loss, constipation, cold hands and feet, extreme fatigue, weight gain, or difficulty losing weight. And they're just kind of suffering in silence because they've been told, oh, we checked your thyroid, it's okay. Well, guess what? A lot of times you need to investigate a little further. And sometimes I've gone through all of the thyroid tests with my patients and found out that, you know what? Let's just try a trial of some thyroid meds, and guess what? They felt better. And so the reason I wanted to kind of go into this is to give you as much information as possible on thyroid testing and evaluation, because it's not just the thyroid function. There's also the adrenal glands, so your little glands that sit on top of your kidneys that are in charge of your fight or flight response. It's also a possibility of iron deficiency, B12, and folate deficiency, and a genetic mutation. That sounds like a dirty word, MTHFR. It's a methylation defect, and what the heck does that mean? Well, it's your ability to detox and really be able to use vitamin B12 and folate, and it's a whole complex thing that I'll save that for another podcast, but it's something to consider in terms of your processing of vitamins and minerals in the body. And usually when I'm looking at someone that has a thyroid issue, usually there's gut issues as well. You're not absorbing nutrients. Perhaps you have something called leaky gut. Perhaps all of this started with leaky gut and developed into a thyroid issue. To be honest with you, I'm really convinced that pretty much most of us with the broken food system and toxins in our environment and in our food, that's how we're ending up with such a large amount of folks with thyroid issues. Ultimately, I am suspecting that pretty much most folks have some sort of thyroid deficiency because of the environment and because of just poor diet and things that we can't control in our diet. For example, my father, completely, let's say, conventional guy, you know, didn't eat healthy much throughout his life. You know, I would suspect that, okay, you know, he might have certain conditions because of that, but he never once showed any of the thyroid issues, such as weight gain. He didn't have any issues in terms of constipation, none of the traditional issues. But what he did have was chronic gas and bloating and difficulty breaking down food. And so that was one thing that he spent most of his life dealing with, until eventually one of his docs started to think, his thinning hair was a little bit odd and his eyebrows were starting to thin on the edges. That's not a common thing for folks to have. So if you have thin eyebrows on your edges of your eyebrows, so like from the middle of them out, that's another clue. That's not your traditional thyroid issue. And sure enough, my dad ended up actually having thyroid cancer. And now, unfortunately, he has no thyroid, but we're working really hard to keep him going. So I digress in that department. The more important thing here is looking at thyroid function and knowing what to evaluate to determine if you have an underactive thyroid. So most of the time when you go to the doctor, your doctor is going to test something called TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And possibly free T4. So what this is T4 is the hormone that comes directly out of your thyroid. So you've got TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. This hormone comes from the brain to stimulate your thyroid, so from your pituitary gland. And it's going to say, basically tell you if your thyroid's being stimulated. And the T4 is going to basically tell you if your thyroid is making hormones. Now, what this test gives you is like a quarter of the picture. And it tells you, okay, great, is your thyroid being stimulated properly? But it also tells you, you know, are T4 hormones coming out of the thyroid? But the problem is T4 gets converted to T3, and T3 is actually the active form of your thyroid hormones. So if you don't know what's happening in terms of conversion, you've got a big issue here. And your conversion from T4 to T3 happens in your body tissues, but also 20% is in your gut and 20% in your liver. So if you are super toxic because of your environment, or you're eating crappy food, or you're drinking too much alcohol or caffeine or things of that nature, well, guess what? You've got a 20% decline in your thyroid's ability to function. Then if your gut's trashed and you have leaky gut, or say you have celiac or some food sensitivities, well, guess what? Gut lining irritation. Now we're also going to drop the amount of conversion of T4 to T3. Now another biggie is deficiency of selenium. We use selenium to help us to convert T4 to T3. And if you're deficient in selenium, that's a whole nother big issue there that might be affecting your thyroid. So all that being said, of course, to fully look at your thyroid, you need a little bit more information. So what I typically do is I have my patients, I have them evaluated for, of course, yes, the thyroid stimulating hormone, because that could tell me if there's a brain issue in terms of communication. I have them look at free T and free T4. So free T3 and free T4. I also look at reverse T3. Reverse T3 is a molecule that's created when we're stressed out. If that reverse T3 is elevated, then I'm going to be suspecting that cortisol, our stress hormone, is one of the issues involved here. And so in that case, I'm definitely going to want to evaluate the individual's adrenal glands. And normally on regular testing, I do evaluate the adrenal glands in the first pass, meaning I will look at a electrolyte balance. The difference between sodium, potassium, and chloride can give us a lot of sense in terms of what's going on with the adrenal glands. Now, if I see any of those off, or I see the reverse T3 off, then I'm going to order cortisol testing, and in the form of saliva. I do not believe that blood cortisol levels really give us a true sense. And the reason being is because it's only tested in the morning at 8 a.m. There are four other times when our cortisol levels flux. And I like the saliva testing because you can spit into a little tube and we can get a really good sense of what's happening throughout the day in terms of your cortisol levels versus having to go into a lab four times during the day to have your blood drawn. Which, by the way, no one's going to do because labs won't even let you do that. But nevertheless, that's why we do saliva. The other reason for saliva testing for cortisol is that saliva shows us free hormones, ones that are unbound and floating around in the system, whereas the blood cortisol shows us what is bound. And that gives us a really, you know, skewed response because we know what's bound, but we don't know what's free floating around. And that's why I like to know what the reserves are floating around in the body with the cortisol levels. So I definitely look into cortisol because there's a huge connection between the adrenal glands, so your fight or flight glands that sit on top of your kidneys, and your thyroid gland. And most of the time, our thyroid tends to slow down when we're most stressed, or we've been through a stressful experience, or we've been pushing it to the limits. We've been burning the candles at both ends, staying up late, doing projects, and then getting up early, working out, going to work. So those of you out there who are go-getters and really push yourself to limits, you know who you are. You definitely want to make sure you're looking at your cortisol levels. Now, the other big things that I like to look at for my folks that I'm suspecting that there's a thyroid issue is vitamin D, also B12 and folate. The reason being is because traditionally with thyroid conditions, individuals have difficulty absorbing vitamin D and B12. Folate's kind of an outlier, but the thing about folate is the connection to the genetic mutation MTHFR. And I like to see if someone's folate levels are low, high, or out of control, and that gives us a sense of what's going on with that genetic mutation. Now, I also like to look at iron storage levels in my thyroid folks or my folks I suspect that have thyroid conditions. And the reason being is because iron deficiency is very common. And low-level iron deficiency is very common. It kind of goes hand in hand with folks who have thyroid issues. So if you're one of those folks out there that has difficulty keeping your hair nice and thick, your hair's falling out, it's thinning, there's definitely a possibility that there's a combination between your thyroid and your iron levels. So something to keep in mind there. So typically I'll look at something called ferritin, which is your iron storage. I'll also look at total iron binding globulin, TIBC. I also look at your hematocrit, your hemoglobin. So this is what was called a CBC, a complete blood count. And that gives me a really good sense of what's happening with the red blood cells. But I like to look at the total iron binding capacity. I called it globulin earlier, but excuse me, total iron binding capacity, TIBC. And that gives me a really good sense of what's happening with your body in terms of being able to utilize, bind, and store iron. Now, the next things I look at are all of the hormones, because your adrenal glands are in charge of producing estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and DHEA. And I also will look at sex hormone binding globulin, SHBG, and what that is your ability to be able to bind your sex hormones. Those are important because of the connection between the adrenal glands and the thyroid. Now, the other things that I like to look at are your red blood cell amounts of copper, iron, selenium, and magnesium. And what that tells me is to see if you are holding onto these minerals properly. Now, there's a lot of let's say, I don't know, I guess the best way to say it is controversy in terms of how do we know if the minerals are accurate in the body. And really, the red blood cell is the way to go with your minerals to know how well you're storing these and if there is a true deficiency. Now, the other big thing that I like to look at in all of my folks that I suspect that there is a thyroid issue is iodine. And the way I look at iodine is I look at the total free and total iodine in the blood. Now, it's not the most accurate, really. Urine testing is more accurate, but you have to get a sample over a 24-hour period. And trust me, carrying around a jug of your urine every single day to get a sample every single time you urinate for 24 hours, that sucks. So I usually don't have people do that because it's just after a while it gets cumbersome. So that's one way. The other way I look at iodine deficiency is old school method, where you get some nascent iodine and you paint a 2x2 square on your abdomen or somewhere that's not going to show, and you watch to see how long that square goes away. Now, this sounds kind of goofy, but I'll be honest with you, it's probably one of my favorite ways to know about iron deficiency in my patients. Now, if that square goes away in less than 12 hours, you've got a pretty good deficiency. If it's still hanging around after 24 and it hasn't changed in terms of color, then no deficiency there. No big deal. And so oftentimes I'll have folks test themselves that way just to give us a really good sense, because I'll be honest with you, I gave you a whole list of labs here and your insurance companies usually won't cover quite a few of these. In particular, your insurance company is usually not going to be covering your red blood cell, copper, iron, selenium, magnesium. They just don't do it. In terms of the thyroid stuff, yes, your insurance company will cover TSH, free T3, T4. Reverse T3 is a little tricky. Now, if you have a doctor who can write for you having anxiety, if you do have it, or if you do have an acute stress reaction, yes, sometimes I will get the reverse T3 covered. In terms of vitamin B12 and folate, that'll be covered. Ferritin as well. The CBC, so your complete blood count, and your complete metabolic panel, CMP, those are always covered, especially with a general exam in terms of an annual exam or a preventative health exam. Now, vitamin D is tricky. Some insurance companies are really great at it. It all kind of depends on how good your doctor is at coding. I actually recommend for a lot of people, if you're going to get vitamin D tested, you go with a discount lab. There are lots of different discount labs out there. And in fact, at the end of my show notes, I have resources that you can click on to see some of these discount labs. There's companies like the Canary Club, which sounds weird, but it's a website where you can order labs. There's walkinlab.com. The Stop the Thyroid Madness website also has a list of different walk-in labs. And if you have a doctor like such as a naturopath working with you or a functional medicine doctor working with you, we can also get these labs for you at discount rates using professional LabCorp services. They work with the company LabCorp. You just have to have a doctor who has that account, and you can get very cost-effective labs. Honestly, before you go into getting all of these labs, you definitely want to talk to your doctor about getting discount labs, because I'll be straight up honest with you. if I ran all of these, you'd be looking at $3,000 to $4,000 coming back on insurance that they won't cover. And you do not want to be stuck with that kind of bill. There's much cheaper ways to go about it. Now, I briefly mentioned the saliva cortisol testing and I said the hormones, but I didn't mention that I prefer to have testosterone, progesterone, estrogen, and DHEA tested through saliva because it's the unbound hormones, so you get to see what the reserves are floating around. My favorite company for saliva cortisol and hormones is a company called Labrix. They're out of Clackamas, Oregon, L-A-B-R-I-X. My second favorite is ZRT Lab. You can look up both of those online and check them out. You have to have a doctor who can order through these labs for you to do these, but they're great ones. And I'm sure that there's also labs now online where you can get cortisol and your sex hormones as well via saliva. Now, MTHFR, this sounds like the dirty word. It is a methylation mutation. Usually the only way insurance is going to cover that via blood is if you've had 3 miscarriages. If not, then you are looking at going through a discount lab, or you can find out if you have the MTHFR mutation and its derivatives if you do 23andMe. And 23andMe.com is a really great way to go and evaluate that. The reason the MTHFR mutation is important is because we've got about probably 50% of the population that has this mutation. And your issue here with methylation is that methylation allows us to detox. And it also allows us to be able to utilize vitamin B12. And it also helps us in the process of creating serotonin and dopamine. So if you've had chronic depression, chronic fatigue, just sick most of your life, just low energy, you might want to look into the MTHFR mutation, because what happens when you have this mutation is you are not able to process synthetic folic acid at all. And pretty much all of our boxed and processed foods are fortified with folic acid because the government wants us to prevent spina bifida, meaning holes developing in the spine and causing paralysis and things of that nature in babies. And I get their point of why to do that, but unfortunately we're learning now that synthetic folic acid, so folic acid, is an issue. Now, I want you to go and look at all of your multivitamins and vitamins that you take, if you take any, and make sure it does not say folic acid. If it does, I recommend most folks, if you're fatigued, having issues with hair falling out, constipation, etc., ditch them and find ones that say folate. Folate is the natural form of folic acid. It's what's in dark leafy greens. It's what naturally occurs in the universe, and that's what we can process just fine. So folate is great. Quattro folate, so there's all kinds of different types of folate that you might find in supplements, but folate, not folic acid, especially for anyone who has chronic fatigue, digestive issues, anxiety, insomnia, all that stuff, you want to evaluate the MTHFR issue. And I recommend the best way to do it is 23andMe testing, because you get a lot of good information. And if you have a functional medicine doctor in your backyard, take your results from the MTHFR testing. So take your results from the 23andMe and get them into that doc. Now, one thing, just a side caveat about that, is if you have the MTHFR testing done through 23andMe, you're going to have some generic results from 23andMe. You want to get your results and run them through something called the Genetic Genie. And I'll put that resource at the end of my show notes, but Genetic Genie helps all of us functional medicine docs to know exactly what mutations you have, and then we can make suggestions based on those mutations. So something to keep in mind there. All right, now let's jump back to this thyroid stuff. Now, say you go and get some labs done and you're going, okay, my TSH levels are in the normal range. And a normal range is anywhere between 0.7 all the way up to 4.5. And that's kind of crazy because I see a lot of people's thyroid slowing down anywhere between 2 and 4. And doctors aren't paying attention to it and someone's got all the classic signs. So my big point here is that if you've got all the signs I mentioned, like fatigue, hair falling out, dry skin, cold hands and feet, really cold all the time, difficulty regulating your temperature, digestive issues such as constipation, gas, or bloating, chances are you've got some issues here in terms of your thyroid. Also, anxiety and depression longstanding can also be a huge component. And one of the big things here is really understanding the connection first and foremost between your digestive health and your thyroid. The big thing here is that your thyroid hormones look a lot like gluten. Sounds crazy, but this is how we kind of discovered that folks who have hypothyroid conditions do a lot better when they're not eating gluten. And the reason being is because of leaky gut. Your gut cells get irritated, they separate apart, and now we have molecules of gluten getting across into the bloodstream. Your body starts to attack those molecules of gluten, gets really excited, now it starts to attack your thyroid molecules. And in particular, attacking on the gut lining, that thyroid molecule turning from T4 to T3, just like I mentioned before, that conversion of the T4 to the T3 on the gut lining, we often have attack, and especially on that enzyme, the enzyme that allows us to convert T4 to T3 is thyroid peroxidase, TPO. And if we have antibodies, so anti-TPOs, so antibodies to the conversion enzyme that converts T4 to T3, we'll often have a slowed thyroid. So anytime you have digestive issues combined with hair loss, hair thinning, nails thinning, anything, constipation, I'm always going, okay, what is happening on that gut level? What is happening in terms of an irritation? And what is happening in terms of an immune attack on your enzyme that converts T4 to T3? So that is one of the other big labs that I really like folks to look at, is their anti-TPO, so anti-thyroid peroxidase. The other antibody that I like to look at is thyroglobulin antibody. Thyroglobulin antibody is your thyroid cells, and thyroglobulin is your binding cell. And if we have an allergy, so an immune reaction, not an allergy, pardon me, if you have an immune reaction to that, you're going to see antibodies to your thyroglobulin. And this is a problem, huge problem. And in particular, I really have folks watching eating the gluten in this case because the molecules look much like this guy here. So big thing to keep in mind there, that connection between your gut health and in the thyroid in particular, gluten having an issue. Now, the other big issue that I find commonly with folks that have a slow thyroid is dairy intolerance. And the component here with dairy intolerance is probably that, one, dairy is hard to break down because it is a fatty substance, but also because a lot of us lack lactase, the enzyme that allows us to break down lactose, milk sugar. And if we lack that enzyme, then the molecules of dairy are going to sit there a little bit longer, irritate the gut, cause some more leaky gut, and now we have some more issues happening on the gut lining where the tissue is inflamed and we're not converting T4 to T3, so we slow down the thyroid. All right, I'm getting super techie on you, and I apologize for that. The big thing here is want to look at your antibodies, and if you have antibodies to your thyroid or antibodies to the enzyme that converts T4 to T3, you're looking at an autoimmune type of thyroid picture here, and it could be Hashimoto's, which is the slow down thyroid component, or you could be looking at Graves' disease, and Graves' is usually a hypermetabolism, sped up thyroid issue. And for a lot of folks, sometimes you'll start with hyperthyroidism and then it converts to hypo, and that's a common presentation too that I see. And hyperthyroidism often is related to anxiety, heart palpitations, and feeling really warm all over, things of that nature. That's just a few of the symptoms. There's plenty more, but that's something to consider because some people will start with the fast thyroid and then all of a sudden it just poops out almost and goes slow. Another big thing to note is that I often will see thyroid issues develop during pregnancy or after pregnancy. So keep that in mind if anyone knows anyone that developed some fatigue, had difficulty with energy levels, started to become depressed, losing hair. A lot of times we'll chalk it up as postpartum depression, but sometimes it's actually the thyroid. And so I often recommend ladies, you know, month or 6 weeks after you've had your baby, getting the thyroid checked in a full panel, especially those enzymes, the anti-TPOs, and your thyroglobulin antibody checked out to make sure things are okay. Now, The next big thing that I typically talk about with my folks who I'm suspecting that have thyroid issues is detoxing the liver. Now, in the first part of my podcast, I was mentioning that 20% of our thyroid hormone from T4 to T3, so that conversion, T4 to T3, now another 20% happens in the liver. And I mentioned before, the other 20 happens in your gut. So that's two components in terms of your plumbing. And I really, really, really highly recommend detoxing your liver regularly. And typically, I'll do it 3 to 4 times a year. 3 is kind of the magic point for if I've been really bad. And why would you want to detox your liver? Well, here's the thing. We have a lot of environmental toxins that we're exposed to. You can eat as clean as possible, but you're still going to get a lot of environmental stuff. And the other side of it is if you're drinking alcohol, you're hitting the caffeine up pretty heavy. Those are big deals. And that liver can only handle so much. The other big side of it is all of the stuff in our water. If you don't have a filtration system for your water in your home, this is the time to kind of consider going out and getting something. The Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, has a great guide for getting the right filter for you and for where you live. So keep that in mind too, that your water could be part of the issue as well. And so what I'm typically doing with a lot of my patients is we clear out the gut, we clear out the liver. So eating clean, absolutely key. Liver detox at least 3 to 4 times a year. And I'll typically do it 3 to 5 days. Sometimes I'll do 10. It just kind of depends on what's happened with someone and how much toxic overload they have. So for example, if I have a patient who's coming in and they're like, yeah, I drink alcohol probably 1-2 drinks a night and I eat out maybe 3 to 4 times a week and I, you know, smoke and maybe they work in a printing press or something. That's a huge load of toxins. And so in that case, they're going to have more of a 7 to 10 day type of cleanse. Whereas someone who says, well, I'm eating organic and I'm working out and, you know, I work in an environment that's not toxic and I barely drink, then that person's not going to need as much of a detox. However, the detox is very similar that I do for a lot of folks. And in particular, I'm looking at herbs that are extremely beneficial for clearing out the liver. Milk thistle is one. The other one that I typically love is artichoke. I also really, really like using dandelion root. I also like to use dandelion leaf, although it's better for the kidneys. And that's another big thing to think about. I do like to clear out the kidneys a little too. I'll talk about that in a second. Going back to the liver, another herb that's another favorite of mine is burdock root. Fabulous for clearing out the liver. And so those are kind of my go-tos. And there's a ton of detox formulas out there. You could even do a yogi detox tea. It's not as strong as a supplement formula, but hey, you know, it all kind of depends what your price point's at. And then there's all the liver foods, beets, cabbage, carrot, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Those guys, 2 cups a day will help you to really clear out things as well. Now, another biggie to keep in mind is estrogen. If you are noticing that you're more of a pear-shaped individual, you gain weight around your thighs, up on the back of your arms, you've got a little flab going there, your bingo arms, as I call them, and kind of just below on your lats area, so where you have your latissimus, if you've got some fat buildup there, what hangs over the bra, that's a little bit more of an estrogenic type of picture. And I will often have folks do a formula called DIM detox. Diindolmethane is a really highly concentrated component of the broccoli, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, all those guys. It's not part of carrots. Scratch that. But all of the broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower family. That is a great formula to be able to clear out extra estrogen in the body. So DIM detox, pure encapsulations, you could do a detox with that too. If you're noticing that those issues are part of your universe. And I actually do a lot of estrogen detox for myself at least 3 times a year. My mother died of estrogen positive breast cancer, so it's a big issue in my universe as well. The other big thing that I have folks do is ModuCare. This is a thorn product. It is high in polyphenols. What it is a high antioxidant formula. It helps to calm down inflammation in the gut. And I will typically use this alongside of the liver detox when I'm calming down the system. In fact, anytime I see somebody who has a slowing thyroid, or I suspect that their thyroid is slowing down, I usually do a good 2 weeks of the DIM detox and the Maju Care with 3 to 5 days of green smoothies and really just a good liver clear. So something to keep in mind. In terms of gut lining repair, I also highly recommend working on the gut lining. And the way to do that is to do a hypoallergenic diet. And by that, I mean autoimmune paleo. That's kind of one of the best ones to do. If you're vegan, you can do an autoimmune version of that. It's just that you've got to really limit your grains and your beans in that case. And if you're going to do grains and beans, you want to be able to soak them and sprout them. So, because that way you can reduce the lectins that cause inflammation on the gut lining. And so typically I'll do the gut lining repair, also involved with some bone broths and collagen powder and all of that jazz. And I have that resource on my website. I'll put that at the link here at the back in terms of how to fix a leaky gut. That's my gut lining repair protocol. So check that out at the end of my show notes. You can look at the link for how to fix that gut lining. So I have gone through all the different ways that I work to treat a hypothyroid type of condition, also how to test it. I highly, highly recommend just getting the plumbing in order. So detox the liver, work on the gut. Yes, I mentioned the kidneys and didn't go into detail. I oftentimes will have folks getting in a little bit of cranberry daily, and I'm not talking about cranberry juice with a bunch of sugar. I mean, literally, you could do cranberry powder in the form of D-mannose. There's a great product from the company Designs for Health that you could use, or you could just get cranberries and half a cup a day of cranberries in a smoothie. Yes, that's kind of tart, but you can work on that. I often will combine it with celery, which is also great for the kidneys, and I'll combine some parsley in there. Celery, parsley, and cranberries, amazing for the kidneys, also great for gout, side note. And of course, add another fruit in there that can help you to sweeten that up. But that would be one of my go-tos for helping with the kidneys in particular. Hibiscus flower is also a really great kidney detoxifier as well. So we have those on board. Definitely detoxing the liver, eating clean, can't stress that enough. And when I say clean, I really mean also your cooking utensils. Get rid of the plastic spatulas, all that jazz. That stuff messes with you, especially adds to your toxic estrogen load. Get high heat silicone utensils. And then take a look at your cookware. Get rid of your Teflon nonstick crap. It's junk. It's only going to cause you harm in the long run. Get some good ceramic, healthy glaze stuff like Extrema cookware or some of the other versions from Le Creuset that do not have red or dark red colored tint to them so that there's no lead coming out in those glazes. So all that being said, I highly, highly recommend that if you're suspecting that your thyroid's slowing down, you've got constipation, you've got cold hands and feet, you've got dry skin, you've got hair falling out or thinning, you've got thinning eyebrows, there's a lot of symptoms here, depression, anxiety, big issues here, and you suspect it's your thyroid and you're not getting the right testing, go out and request it. I've got the links here below to help you to get your tests done on your own. Now, unfortunately, there are some states that don't allow you to do your own testing. This is Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Maryland. Darn it. If you're in any of those states, just come over here to the West Coast. We'll take care of you. So nevertheless, go ahead out there in the universe and get some help. Get the right testing to know what is going on with your thyroid. I'd love to hear back from you as to what you find out and how you're doing. And hey, if you test your thyroid and every single thing comes back in the normal range, find a functional medicine doctor. Get them to evaluate you and your symptoms, because labs don't give us 100% of the data all the time. And I do treat on symptoms sometimes versus what the labs tell me. And I have plenty of folks who are on formulas such as Nature Throid or some of the synthetics such as Synthroid or Armor is a glandular. Sorry, that's not a synthetic. But Synthroid and Cytomel are synthetic thyroid hormones. And I have a lot of people on those ones who are doing just fine. And you might be thinking for a second, she said synthetic. Why would she say that? Well, I have noticed with some of my folks who have autoimmune Hashimoto's type of thyroid conditions that it is better to use levothyroxine, so Synthroid and Cytomel, because folks tend to do a little bit better than the glandular, such as Nature Throid and Armor. But just a side note there. So you definitely want to find a functional medicine doc in your area when you start to work with thyroid meds, as they are individual and you do have to adjust them a little bit because it's not a one-size-fits-all treatment. And keep that in mind. Any issue with the thyroid is not a one-size-fits-all treatment. We are all different and you need somebody on board to help you out. You can always go to some great resources. The StopTheThyroidMadness.com website is a good resource. Isabella Wentz, she's the thyroid pharmacist. She is also a very great resource in that case to give you information that's quality information and just can help to feed your interest in what might be going on with your thyroid. So check out my show notes. It'll give you all of the resources I've given blurbs on today. I highly recommend looking into your thyroid. I spent quite a few years avoiding the thought that quite possibly there was something up with my thyroid, only to find out that, wow, I was not taking care of my thyroid like I should have. And I am here to say that diet makes a big difference, and clearing out your gut and working on your liver absolutely are key here and can keep a lot of folks off of thyroid meds like myself. So there you have it, a little bit on the thyroid and what you need to know and what your doctor unfortunately is just not trained enough to be able to tell you about. And that's where us goofy naturopaths and functional medicine docs come in to save the day. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode as I have, since this is the topic near and dear to my heart. And I look forward to hearing from you as to what happens with your own investigations here. And I highly recommend you check out my resources page to help you in your investigation as to what's going on with your thyroid.
Thanks for tuning in to The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.